Every lap in under a minute. Every move made to matter. Every decision impacting the outcome of the race. Supercars in Perth. Every second matters. Bosch Power Tools Perth Super Sprint, May 17 to 19. Book now at Ticketek. Supercars. Unforgettable.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
A Motorsport Podcast Network production.
The Brad Jones Racing Rundown with Chris Westwood and Macaulay Jones.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the BJR Rundown Podcast, episode 5 of 2024. My name is Chris Westwood, and fortunately, I've been allowed back to host our podcast after Brad and Macaulay's takeover last week. Our stalwart, Macca, is still here and looking fit and smiling as ever. How are you, Macca?
Yeah, I'm going really well. I've been pretty busy, I feel like. It feels like it's been a long time since the Bathurst weekend, so I'm pretty damn excited to get to the AGP and get on track again. Like I said, it feels like it's been a little bit.
Excellent. So the pod sounded like a bit of fun last week between Brad and yourself, so thanks very much for letting me back on.
it was good fun. I mean, he can talk, so it was our longest episode to date, which is no real surprise, I'm sure. sure to anyone, but it was good. Some interesting points he makes, and he's obviously a busy man. So, yeah, it was cool to have a chat.
Nice one. So we're in Australian Grand Prix week. We're a support category to the Formula One Roadshow down at Albert Park in Melbourne. Obviously, I think you touched on last week, we've been moved down a category, so I guess we're theoretically fourth in line. But how are you feeling about the four sprint races and the event down there?
Yeah, it's always a bit of a weird weekend for supercars going to this event. I mean, like you said, we've sort of been moved down. We're in the back paddocks at the moment, and it's definitely a support category. But yeah, it's definitely the most random format we have. We do a lot of running on Thursday, and it progressively gets less and less as the Formula One hit the track, and we definitely get less time. So, you've got no pit stops this year, which is a big topic, I feel like, with the racing strategy. In the past we've had the hard tire and the super soft in the one race, and you had to run both. Before 2023 they hadn't resurfaced the track, and they had done the whole track in 2023 heading into that, and so it used to be a lot of tire deg and a massive amount of tire deg with heat. So it wasn't necessarily the depth getting of the rubber. It was actually quite a lot of heat build up as you would slide across the top of the surface. And so we saw that was much less as a factor last year. So that was an interesting one, because we had anticipated high deg. That didn't come. And then you would end up running the super soft for almost as long as possible on the last lap, pitting for hards, doing the final lap on the hards. And that's kind of how that strategy, or you would start the race with the hards, do one lap, pit, get clean air and go. But that was a very weird style of racing at the time, because we didn't know what the track surface would do. But heading there this year, we've only got the soft tire. The tire deg won't be huge, I don't feel. There was some delaminations last year in the races, but again, that came from the temperature deg, I feel, not necessarily the actual, the depths getting low. Mm-hmm. And so that probably won't be as much of a factor. But yeah, like I said, progressively less racing as the weekend goes on, which is a very strange format.
Do you think getting temp in the tyres over such a short race, like how many, it's a 5 point something K lap, how long does it take to get the tyres up to temperature?
Not very long at that place, because it is such a long lap that by the time you do an out lap, it's like Bathurst there, an out lap is a very long lap. It's not like Tasmania where it's a 55 second lap time. You are generally in a colder condition. not that we know what the weather will be just yet heading into Melbourne, but it's, you know, it's pretty easy to get tyre temp. You have very long loaded corners. The high, it's generally pretty high speed in most areas. So you have plenty of time to build temperature. So you're actually more trying to not get too much temperature in the start of the warm-up lap, so that on the one lap that you get in qualifying, you've actually got it more even across the whole lap, so that you start, you might be actually under pressure and under temp a little bit, and then by the end, you're not, you know, you're trying not to go over temp.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's a, like you see, you touched on Thursday is a really intense day. Like, we start off the day with a mini ride session, if you like. Then there's a couple of 30-minute practice sessions and moves into qualifying for the first two races. And then we finish the day with a actual race. So it's, you know, over the course of a 12 to 14-hour spread, there's a lot of car time there.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit awkward for us as well. You know, we haven't had this problem for a little while, that we haven't been a support category where we're not in pit stalls for a long time. And so I guess the challenge that we're facing now is that we don't actually have a garage next to the track that our engineers can be in. And so what normally happens is that they're in the garage, we have our whole space stations, we call them, and that has all the telemetry, all the data, and they sit at it and they can see what strategy they want to play. They've got all the timing, like I said, all the live telemetry from the car, which is all the feedback from all the sensors in the car goes straight into a heap of squiggly lines that they decipher into what the car's doing or where the driver may need to improve. We don't actually have that going into the garage. And so if we do want to pit in practice to make a change or something, we've pretty much got our laptops and that's it. So it's kind of going back to some old school stuff where we don't have all that information. You'll probably have maybe a data engineer that'll actually stay at the backyard garage that we have in the infield, and then you'll have your head engineer and your mechanics potentially changing wheels in the pit lane, but he'll only have a laptop to be able to see, and so they'll probably get the telemetry going to a laptop, which is a much, you know, there's a much less information flow than what there normally is over the weekend. So that is definitely a massive factor in how different teams manage that. Will definitely be different across the field because it's a bit of a learning curve for us all, and how much stuff we can actually take to the pit lane.
And one of our transporters that one of them converts into a space for the engineers to work. That's a good 700-800 meters away now. And you know, let's be honest, Donners isn't a runner.
No,
he's a race engineer, so he'll probably have to minimise the level of trips he takes back to that work area.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, that's a pain. You know, we do so much work out of the truck, not just engineers, but you know, the mechanics. We have one of our trucks set up as more of a meeting truck where we have all the engineers. Brad has a meeting room at the front where he does some sponsorship meetings, and then we have our other truck, which is more set up for all the spares, every nuts and bolts you can think of. Is in cabinets in that truck, and all the spare parts, the panels, exactly, all the stickers. So, you know, that's definitely a bit of a pain for them. You know, it's like if they're missing, if they need a new bolt or whatever, they're going to have to run the 800 meters back and then and to get anything. So, you know, logistically, it's a little bit of a nightmare. And it's probably not too bad for the rest of the weekend because it is a bit more spread out. There's a lot less running after Thursday. But that Thursday will definitely be pretty hectic, and when you have, you know, effectively no pit lane to be able to go into, you're going to be moving a lot of equipment around back and forth.
And throw into the mix Melbourne weather. I think I looked at it. Oh. You know, we're not going to be in the 30s like we're used to up here. It'll be sort of back down to the 18s, and we're close to the coast.
I saw a bit of a chance of rain on a couple of the days, and I feel like it hasn't rained in months here. So, of course, it's going to rain the one weekend. The Formula One is in Melbourne.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's always how it works. But what I what I found last year, we did a couple of the rolling starts after some of the Fords had the fire issues. You know, that was always pretty chaotic. Yeah. But they have a staggered grid. So that's one feature that we always tend to forget when you go to this round, because we don't do that staggered grid anywhere. It's only on the Formula One track.
Yep.
But that's a bit different for us. You know, it's a very fast flowing track. So that turn one comes up pretty quick when everyone's, you know, approaching it on such a wide circuit. Mm. Then and especially with the staggered grid. So the starts and qualifying will be massively important without any pit stops and the lack there of strategy. You know, we had where they declared the race wet last year, we jumped onto a strategy that worked really well for us. Our guys kind of knew all the rules, and when they declare the session wet, it meant that we didn't actually need to change compounds or all four tyres. So that meant we could just do two tyres, and that's ended up what we're doing in a couple of the races. But we sort of got under a couple of people's nose there because, you know, some people didn't quite cotton on to that. So that was that made for an interesting race, and it definitely benefited our crew.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the Albert Park circuit is a street circuit by definition, but it's probably closer to a specialised racetrack. You touched on the surface and so forth. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's this very fast flowing circuit. There's some runoff in some of the areas. I mean, it's a bit like almost like a Townsville. There's parts of the place where it's just a concrete jungle, but then you've got other areas which is much more open. It is a very fast circuit. You know, it's definitely not built for a supercar. You can tell why Formula One race there. Mm. You know, they made a couple of changes to the circuit, 2 years ago?
Yep.
And that whole back section used to be a lot tighter than what it was. There was sort of this, you know, pretty heavy braking chicane, and that led on to that back fast chicane. But now they've just opened that whole thing up, and it's almost flat. It's very awkward for our cars, where the Formula One guys, you know, they've got a lot of aero pushing them into the ground. We don't quite have that luxury, so we're sort of moving around all over the track, and one of the parts of being there on a Thursday is the track is extremely dirty. So mm-hmm. by the time you get through your first practice, it's a pretty dodgy session just with how green the track is. And by green, I mean there's not many cars run on it. There's not much rubber down, so it's quite dirty. You know, when the construction guys are building that circuit, they're driving trucks and all sorts of different, you know, vehicles and manitos all over the place. So that puts a whole lot of dust and crap on the track, and that means we're sort of street cleaners
yep.
for the first half of the day. So rapidly the track changes over the weekend, especially by the time, you know, Formula One hit the track with their Pirelli rubber.
Yep. Now, you mentioned the reason that it's not ideally suited to supercars is the lack of aero.
Yeah.
So just expand on that a bit. I guess, you know, we don't have a solid under tray at the front, and the front splitter doesn't come out as far, and obviously the rear wing is nothing on what it would be, what it used to be, or at a Formula One. So when you say aero, does it mean you don't have that confidence coming into a corner and so forth?
Well, it's just with being at such a high speed circuit, I'm not sure what the average speed of the place would be, but I would imagine it's pretty damn high. You know, it's like,
well, they go around about 20 odd seconds faster than a supercar.
Yeah. I mean, and that's for very good reason. If you watch their onboard of them going through some of the corners, like they're braking at 50 and we're braking at 150.
Mm.
And that is how much effect an aero can sort of have on the thing, not to mention they're lighter and, you know, got a bit more grip. But
how it awaits probably far more significant.
Oh yeah, definitely. So, you know, for us, you know, we generate, it's 200 or 300 kilos of downforce. They're generating, you know, probably over a ton and a half. Mm. I would say so. You know, that is a massive amount of difference, and when you have such wide circuits like Formula One are, you know, they are generally, I would say, double the width at some areas than some of our heritage tracks are, you know, like,
yep.
you know, Tasmania is a pretty skinny track, or, you know, I'm sure Taupo, I haven't been there yet, but I've been to a few New Zealand circuits over the years, and they're pretty damn tight. So,
yep.
you know, when you walk this circuit, it is very different, and the width of the track is noticeably different. And that just means that you can open up corners more. So the length of corners, you know, the time you spend in corners is quite a lot mm-hmm. at this place, which is why the tyre deg or the delaminations have been a problem, because you overheat the tyre so much because you spend so much time in a lateral phase of the corner, that, you know, when your tyres are slipping across the track, they're just heating up, mm-hmm. and that's where that becomes
friction, a problem,
isn't
it? Yeah.
Especially after so many consecutive corners that you're just forever putting load into the tyre, and so that can be a big problem for you know, the Dunlop tyre that we've had there at a few times. I would say, you know, a couple of years ago we had massive problems
mm-hmm.
with the Super Soft having massive delaminations in almost two laps.
Yes,
and yep. so that becomes a bit, you know, dodgy almost, and you kind of, because you don't get that feeling in practice as much, you don't, you know, we don't have as much time on track, so when you're doing half an hour sessions, you're never doing a 10 lap run
mm-hmm.
as hard as you can, and so
you'd be lucky never to get really 10 laps in.
Yeah, exactly. And so you don't get that chance to be able to see if the tire does fail until the race, when you're putting full fuel, you're you know, and you're going hard at it.
Yep. So you've had some experience in open wheelers. How, you know, driving through that concrete jungle, as you put it, all like a tunnel, you know, how do you feel as a driver in an open wheeler compared to in a supercar, which is obviously a closed in cockpit? Is it much different? Like,
yeah, I mean, Formula Ford was a lot slower, so you had a lot more time to think about it, that's for sure. But you just kind of use the edges of the wheels as the limit to the track, and mm-hmm. and so you never really approached it, I would say, much differently, other than you're in the middle of the car. You know, the Formula Ford absolutely loved those things. I mean, they were such an iconic part of Australian motorsport for so long, or, you know, motorsport in the world. You know, you learn so many things in those cars. Mm. Mechanically, you know, you had a clutch that you actually had to play with.
Oh, really?
A lot more. Yeah. And four-speed gearboxes where you could flat shift, but it was a bit more of a skill to be able to do it, and you had to sort of understand a bit more of the gearbox. Yeah, the H pattern.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, there was a lot of techniques, and they were very undergripped. And so that was a whole lot of fun. You know, you really had to learn a lot of the fundamentals, I would say. And I kind of definitely missed that racing. It was a lot of fun, you know.
You could see it in your face. Yeah, you obviously enjoyed that
good.
Part.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved that. But it is just a different approach. I mean, they're such different cars, the Formula Ford, you know, but then you get into a Formula car, I would say they're a whole lot different. You know, they're a bit more confidence inspiring with the amount of grip and downforce they have. And,
yep.
But, you know, a street circuit's always, you've got to have some risk versus reward in it at all times.
Yeah, 100%. And the 96 Camaro will be running a special livery for the Grand Prix. We'll keep that under wraps at the moment, but it looks pretty cool.
You won't miss it.
No, you won't. And it's great that the Pizza Hut are enabling these concepts going forward. So, I guess the listeners to look out for that. Well, you don't even need to look out. It'll pop out.
You won't miss this one, that's for sure. I'm pretty excited about this one. I wish that the spectators had the chance to come to our garages. I think that's really disappointing. You know, I totally understand it's an OH&S thing, but, you know, it is disappointing that our fan base can't get to see these cars, especially when we have such a cool, unique livery coming up. So, you know, it is disappointing, but, you know, it is what it is. If that's what we've got to do to go racing there, it's, you know, it's unfortunate, and hopefully we change it in the future, because I think it is very disappointing, and I think a lot of the supercar fans, you know, come to the AGP, not necessarily just the F1 fans. So, yeah, hopefully we can put on a show for them anyway, and they reconsider.
Yep, absolutely. Now, looking ahead in the season, I see they've announced that the Sandown 500 has been brought forward a week to the weekend of 15 September, which isn't really a bad thing from a car prep perspective. It gives that extra week leading into Bathurst. So, any thoughts around that?
Oh, not really, if I was being honest. I mean, you know,
it didn't impact on your social calendar.
No, not at all. I had some things on that weekend, you know.
Yep.
But no, I. You know, I haven't got too many thoughts about it. I mean, you know, it's probably clashed with something. And, you know, it just surprises me. It's on the calendar every year. I feel like every year we talk about this place getting shut down, and every year it comes back. So I actually really enjoy driving around there, and the Sandown 500. It's awesome that we've got that event back itself. You know, it was a bit annoying to only have that one enduro. I really enjoy that period of racing. And so, you know, hopefully we keep that track for as long as possible. It's just been talked about for about 15 years now that it's the last year every year.
Yeah, it's like John Farnham.
Yeah, keeps coming back. So.
Now, Brad put out a video during the week with our head engineer, Paul Scalzo, around the spindles. Can you touch on that a bit?
Yeah, so obviously there was a bit of a spindle failure with Waters' car at Bathurst. You know, which at the time everyone thought the pit stop just didn't get the wheel on properly, but, you know, a bit more investigation found that they were having a bit of stress issues and failing. And it's not the first one, I would say, that's failed. It's just probably the most recent one in a little bit. So, you know, we'll be revising that, probably getting some fresh ones.
There hasn't been one fail since Sandown last year, was there?
Yeah, there was one in Sandown, but, you know, there's probably been three or four over the 2023 season. So, yeah, they're going to revise that. I mean, it's, you know, whenever you bring out, you know, a new model of car,
or
which
anything.
Is the Gen 3 or anything in that fact, it's got some teething issues for sure. And, you know, obviously we're not having, you know, a heap of cars fail with it. I mean, apparently, I think he tapped the wall, but I'm not 100% sure. I didn't see that. But, you know, that's definitely going to put some stress in it. Whether it was the factor, probably not. You know, they're getting a lot of a massive workout, the spindles. So, as you can imagine, it's, you know, a pretty fragile part at times.
It'd be one of the highest load points on the car.
Yeah, it would be, especially around that place, you know, the loads that that spindles can cop around there, or just the car itself, you know. And then not necessarily AGP isn't too bad, you know, we don't smash any curbs, but then, you know, you go to, you know, a few of the tracks like Gold Coast and stuff,
Adelaide,
you know,
you
could have residual cracks going on from there that no one ever saw or whatnot. So we'll be giving them a bit of a freshen up and revise that so that you know, doesn't happen in the future. And it's, you know, like the wheel nuts last year, I think we went through 5 different versions by the time that we could get the correct one that worked. And unfortunately, it's a bit of a, you know, trial and error at times. And that's kind of what, you know, happens at the start of Gen 3. But I feel like, you know, they're getting through a lot of the teething issues and, you know, touch wood, but they've been pretty reliable.
Yep, absolutely. Now, something a bit different, but very interesting for motorsport fans is the Adelaide Motorsport Festival this weekend. There's some pretty cool cars there with some older F1s, some NAS cars. Have you had a bit of a look at what might be on show there?
Yeah, they've had this event for a few years. I would love to go over there for it because the Adelaide car scene is impressive. You know, they have some seriously awesome hidden collections around there. I mean, even if you just go to Tailem Bend, you know, they always had a cool car collection in the lobby of the hotel there, or the reception of the track. I'm not sure what you want to actually call it, but, you know, they always had some amazing cars in there. You know, at one year they had, you know, F30s, F40s, F50s, Ferraris in there, you know, and those you know,
single seater things. And,
The Ferrari, the all those, and or even the McLaren Senna. Like they had one of them in the lobby, and that's, you know, you don't get to see them very often.
I think they had one year too.
Yeah, and so they have some really cool cars in Adelaide, and it's awesome that they do something like this, you know, and it's also a bit separate to the Adelaide 500, you know, where it's kind of gets a bit more of a motorsport fix throughout the year, which, you know, I love that. So I'd love to get over for that one year, because I think, you know, they shut the streets down, they all get around it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's something that's really cool that Adelaide does, you know, every year, and I hope that they continue to keep doing that.
Yeah, no, it's a great city, Adelaide, and they can turn on some really good events. Now, outside of your life as a supercar driver, you're continuing to run, which is great, and you had a solid run at a trail race down at Warburton last weekend.
Yeah, holy crap. Warburton, I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a beautiful little place. I can't imagine, the population's massive, but damn, they have some big hills. It's that was a bit of a shock to the system. I've not run up hills like that before, and I've done, you know, quite a bit of trail running, you know, around Australia, and
what sort of gradient are we talking?
I think
it's worst.
Yeah, there was 1 kilometer, which I think it was the fourth kilometer into the run. It was 20 k's total, but on the fourth kilometer there was 295 meters of elevation over the 1 kilometer, so the 30% gradient just about.
Wow!
And you felt every bloody step of it, and so it was pretty much just 1300 meters of climbing in the first half of the race, and then you've turned around and went down the hill, and so that was just as crazy. But it's good fun. I really enjoy that trail running scene. I mean, it's, you've under fatigue, you've really got to think about each step and where you're going and your plan and your strategy, and it kind of ties into motorsport, I think, which is probably why I enjoy that quite a lot. It's kind of just getting in the zone and you know, really adapting to how your body feels, and you know, it's almost like how your tires feel, I guess. But, you know, I like that, and it's a good distraction.
Yep, and you're clearly very good at it, so keep it up.
Well, I try, but, you know, I'm definitely not near those elite guys. I mean, they're impressive to watch. I mean, them getting up a hill, it's like far out. They have got some strength about them, so yeah. Actually, I enjoy the racing though.
Speaking of elite, the on a park run record down at Bright got broken on the weekend by a 15-year-old. He ran 14 something. So that's moving
impressively fast.
I've also been meaning to ask, how are the Mullets for Mental Health campaign going? Ethan, your data engineer, who's new here to BJR, and yourself,
he sports a very nice mullet.
Well, that is one of the finest ones I've seen.
It's definitely up there. I mean, I think he definitely conditions that one
and blow waves.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Him, I'd love to see Tony, who he lives with, rock a similar look, but I think it's that. Unlikely.
Unlikely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the campaign's going really cool. I mean, I've done this, I think it's my fourth time doing mulch mental health with the Black Dog Institute. I think it's a really cool, you know, way of getting exposure, raising some funds. It's, you know, I really like what they've done. They've just made it a really fun way of doing it, and you know, obviously a lot of Australians have mullets these days, and so I quite like that, and you know, they're raising awareness, but you know, they're raising funds to try and do you know, a lot of good things. You know, it's just I really like that, and so they've set up a Max Motorsport mullets team, and you can join the team to help fundraise if you want to sport your own mullet. I mean, we won't see you with one, but maybe Rachel, our media girl, wants to do a mullet. Miley Cyrus had a mullet once, just saying. But yeah, we're just
I did have one once.
Oh yeah, 40 years ago.
Oh yeah, right.
So yeah, that's gone really well. We've raised, you know, quite a bit of money, and
you were sitting fourth in the teams. I looked up this morning.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. It's, you know, anyone can join, and you know, even if you don't have a mullet, it's just sort of doing some awareness stuff as well. So
yep,
yeah, it's there's, you know, I think there's 7 people in the team, and yeah, it's
yeah,
really
nice
cool.
One. Good on you. Finally, what's your tip for the Grand Prix for the Formula One race? Any chance of a
probably be driving home, but
randomly surprise winner?
There's no surprises in Formula One these days. You know, it was cool to see Bierman stepping in. He did a really good job last week. Yeah, but I mean, I can't. When can you ever go past Max Verstappen at the moment? I mean, it's really a race for second at this point.
Third even.
Yeah. I'm not overly excited about Formula One at the moment. But I watch a lot of NASCAR.
You do.
Well, yeah, so, yeah, we'll see. It's Melbourne always has some cool racing there. Mm-hmm. I really like that track. And, you know, I think the Formula One put on a cool show. It's awesome to see those things go around. They're seriously impressive bits of engineering. And I'm sure all our engineers will be frothing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for the chat. Have a great race week. And I look forward to seeing you out on track.
Yeah, actually, we should probably mention we're going out on the Monday. So that's a bit of a change up, but obviously we'll get lost in the whole Thursday of race day. So I think it's, yeah, it's cool that we're going to come out a bit, you know, we've come out a bit earlier and done that. You know, we're always looking for feedback. Phil Keed, one of our engineers, was just on the V8 Sleuth podcast. So he's doing a two-parter, but part one has come out and you know, he's got an awesome story to tell. He's had some serious history in Australian motorsport, but you know, he was in the, you know, World Rally Championship for quite a few years, and he has some, no doubt, some awesome stories to tell on that podcast. So definitely would recommend, you know, listening to Phil.
They had some wild adventures on those rally in random countries,
especially in those days. You know, like those guys are honestly so impressive in the rally. I don't know how they do it. It's you know, especially back then, you know, I'm sure it's a bit more heavily regulated, but the safety has come a long way since, you know, the 90s.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
So I think, it'll be a cool episode to listen to. I'm pretty keen on that.
Yeah, for sure. Nice one. All right. Thanks, Macca.
Brilliant.
Thanks for listening and thanks for the support. Make sure you subscribe to the Motorsport Podcast Network. We're going to be dropping a new episode every second Thursday.
Every lap in under a minute. Every move made to matter. Every decision impacting the outcome of the race. Supercars in Perth. Every second matters. Bosch Power Tools Perth Super Sprint, May 17 to 19. Book now at Ticketek. Supercars. Unforgettable.